Fellow developers and technology enthusiasts, introducing the Technology Icing Developer Podcast, which makes you the evangelist of dead technology within your organization or for yourself. And in this edition, we are going to cover security with OAuth, Open Identity Authentication, which secures your web applications, web API, REST applications, for users, for machines, for you and for me, for a secure transaction of data, information, and logic. So what we are going to cover is something called as OpenID Connect. OpenID Connect is an identity layer built on top of OAuth 2, which is used on the internet. So for those of you who are not aware of what is OAuth, if you go to any application, you'll see a login screen, which enables you to log in by Facebook, Google, Twitter, or GitHub. This is just a specification, and OpenID is the implementation specification layer. It defines what the implementation is. Now, OpenID by itself is not the one who implements it. It gives the implementation specifics. Now, one framework that enables you to implement OpenID Connect, which is an identity layer built on top of OAuth, is called the ThinkTecture Identity Server. Now, why do we use this? It uses open standards like HTTP, JSON. It uses open source client libraries. It's simple, it's robust, and you don't have to have application security scattered everywhere. Like within your organization, you use Active Directory, or within some application, you have some username password store, and you implement a new one for every application, and you end up storing your passwords in somewhat insecure manner. So for security, do not compromise. Loads of research has been done by universities, by scientists, and all of them have put their recipes into this framework, which is an authorization framework that enables application to application access. That is an app talking to an app, a machine talking to a machine, a user talking to an app, a user talking to a thin client, fat client, native client. It defines proper token-based authentication, lightweight framework, and it allows a little bit of flexibility but covers most of the scenarios. Now, when I talk about players, machines, applications, what are these? So I will be calling your app could be like a web API who exposes a list of customers, book information, and there will be some clients who want to use that resource. So you are providing resources and your client wants to consume those resources. For example, view Facebook posts or watch a video. So the client is something that is located in the public domain, which could be trusted or untrusted. And there is something called as an authorization server. So you rely on Google for authentication, Facebook for authentication. And if you want to roll out your own authentication for your own company, you could use something like ThinkTecture, which implements the OpenID Connect authentication mechanism. And then you are the resource server. So, and then someone who is a resource owner, like you, want to protect your information. Like you only want some types of posts to be visible only to your friends, some types of professional information visible only to your LinkedIn contacts, some of your achievements be made public on Twitter. So you can define these kinds of access mechanisms. And your resource server should trust the authorization server. So for that, typically you as an application developer or a resource provider should register with the authorization server to enable different kinds of authentication. So hopefully you're now well aware of various participants. So now let's go an overview. You'll hear of different terms called client credentials. This is used when a machine wants to talk to another machine. you have a client ID and a secret of one machine. Like, for example, an IoT device wants to transmit sensor information to the server. Now, they don't have a concept called a user. So it can have a client ID and a secret with an expiring token, maybe every 10 minutes, to call your machine, and it has certain rights to, maybe it's called a scope in the authentication world, to only write to sensor information database. And then there is another flow called implicit authentication, where you may be relying on something like a government API. You don't own any of those resources from the server. You're just making a JavaScript, Angular, React client. So all your application logic or client logic is in the web browser. And I think you should not expose your secret there. You can have your client ID there, but not the secret. And then by doing, so it just opens up your Facebook page, Google page, or your OpenID page. And it issues a token to your web browser, which you can use for communication. And then there is something called as authorization code, where you could either use it for a client like Excel, which relies in a user trusted environment within the user directory, or you can use it in a native app scenario where an extra dance is done between you and the resource owner to get the token. So you don't get the token in one go, you get the token in two goes, because once your client receives authorization code from the Facebook page or the Google page, then the code is sent to your server. That code is shared with the authorization server. That is, the application shares the code with the authorization server, and then it sends an access token back, which you then send it to the user. And that access token can be used as in the header, like bearer space authorization, whenever you call the REST API for your resources. And then there's one more thing called the token exchange. Now, when I talk about the OpenID Connect specifications, ThinkTecture Identity not only implements it in a way that fits the requirement or implements the framework, it also gives you user management screens. For example, it gives a custom login page, or it can give the administrators access to revoke access of users, manage users. So not every client can consume it, only registered clients. So clients should register on the portal given by the ThinkTecture Identity server. And client, in the sense, not the end user, but the application server must register itself, and it registers with the client ID and the secret for maybe implicit authentication, or for authorization code, or for client credentials. So in short, to summarize, client credential for machine to machine, implicit for a poor client which has no server code, but it could talk to your server, but it's a rich client, and you have all your logic within the web browser. Or maybe, and then there is authorization code, where you are okay to keep the secret in a user environment like Excel or a native app, which has something like a hardware back encryption key where you can store the secret. And you can define, you as an application can define scopes that, okay, read access to only contacts, read access to only books, write access to books, write access to sensor information. So in client credential flow, typically you will call your access token endpoint from Google or Facebook or your identity server with a scope in the URL, and you will include in the authorization a base64 encoded client ID colon secret, and then it gives you a token. That token can be used to call your resources from your client, that is your web browser or your mobile app. It's not recommended to do that, but it's imagine a machine is doing it, machine to machine. And then it could call the endpoints. And then you can also, the authorization server can also expose an endpoint called token info, which gives you info about when is a token expiring, what are the various scopes it has access to, an implicit authentication flow. That is very simple. It relies on you redirecting to the authorization server URL, or maybe opening up a pop-up which offers you the authentication screen of Facebook or Google. And the user enters the username, password, or maybe does a two-way auth with Google, and or maybe enter the username, password for your authorization server. So the authorization server will then give the token back to the client, which the client can then use to call the resource provider. And in authorization code flow, the browser opens the authorization provider like Google, Facebook, and it does, after the username, password, or the token exchange, or the, you can also have like an SMS based two-way factor authentication, and then it gives you an authorization code. The authorization code is shared with our API, and our API then makes a call to the authorization server to see if it's fine or not. And then it gets back an access token. This access token is shared to the client, and the client can use this for communication. So generally, for onboarding an API or an application, the identity provider must provide something like developer or google.com, or you can also manage this with Azure Identity using Azure B2C. Amazon also has a service called Cognito. AWS has a service called Cognito to enable you to do that. And in this, so the interface that ThinkTecture provides is where you can define a client. That is, a client is nothing but an application server that has resources, and it can have a client ID. Now when you are doing this kind of configuration, don't talk about the clients, the end users. For the time being, you are doing the registration phase with the authorization server. Then you define a client, you define application owners. You can specify that, okay, you're going to use this client for what kind of authentication, either open ID, like authorization code, implicit resource owner, and which kind of environment, and what kind of scopes you need access to. And then you go to the application, so you can maintain a list of apps or list of APIs that, and then the client can request access, and then the application owner, or for example the API owner, will approve the access. And then once that happens, you can do the token dance with your clients. That is, now clients means users, so you are a client to the authorization server. And for you, your users are your clients. I know it's very difficult to register everything in one go. There's a lot going on. I recommend you to go through ThinkTecture or OpenID specs or documentation, and take a look at Identity Server 4. Dominic Bay has got some excellent video tutorials on YouTube, and I recommend you to go through it before you implement it, because you should not implement OAuth by yourself. Companies who did it were hacked. I will not name them. So you should implement OpenID Connect, and you should not implement it by yourself, because all kinds of issues like OWASP kind of security loopholes are plugged with the help of researchers. The patterns have been defined so that you do not go wrong. Don't try to implement security by yourself. Stay safe, stay secure, use OpenID authentication. This is the end of this podcast, and this is me, Karan Bhandari, signing off. Karan Bhandari is a full stack developer working in Society General. He has also worked with numerous banks via Infosys, like Bank of America, United States, ANZ, Westpac, NAB as an Android developer, and is currently working as .NET, SSH Cube, React, Angular developer within Society General. He has done masters from computer engineering from California State University and bachelor's from BMS, and has done his schooling from Bishop Cotton Boys High School, Bangalore. Goodbye. You can catch me up on Twitter with the tag @KurtZace, KURTZACE, or visit me on YouTube, youtube.com/KurtZace, or curtis@aol.com. Goodbye.